ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions altogether. Firstly, I thank the organizers of this program, starting from a Sheikh Ibrahim Hamza to Ustaz Rashid, to my other mashayikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in knowledge. May he subhanahu wa ta'ala include these in their righteous deeds, and may he subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them abundantly on the day of Qiyamah. I also extend my taslim and appreciation to our ustaz, Sheikh Saeed Hamza, hafizahullah ta'ala, who has benefited us with the first lecture. Likewise, I greet every one of us present here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered us all in Jannatul Firdaus. The topic, as we have asked, is the ideal Muslim student in the university. As we are seated here, our sisters and brothers, most of us are less than 20, or some of us a bit above 20. And I think that is the reason why this program or this topic has been chosen, in order to guide us. We should know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah is the one that has brought you forth from the bellies of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا, you did not know anything. You did not know anything. If one of us here is asked, how old are you? He may say, or she may say, I'm 18 years old, I'm 20 years old. A time has come that you are nothing to be mentioned. You are nothing to be mentioned. Your father and your mother have not met each other, not to talk of carry you in a belly, not to talk of delivering you as a baby. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out from the bellies, from the wombs of your mothers. لا تعلمون شيئا, You did not know anything. Today you have learned a lot of things. Some of you have memorized the Quran. Some of you are performing well in your academics. Some of you have done this, have done this. Before, you are nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out from the wombs of your mother. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَرَ. Then Allah gave you hearing and watch and sight. When you were born into this world, this year, the ears were there, but you could not use them to hear things. The eyes were there, you could not use them to see things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the ears to hear, made the eyes to see. وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَرَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave you al-afida. That is the mind to think, to ponder over things. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. This He has given you so that you will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell us is that any person that comes to this world, and the person is not one of those who do shukru for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is a loser. Such a person is what? A loser. If they ask you who is a loser in this world, is the one that has come to this world and Allah has blessed him with all these bounties, then the person ends up not being among the grateful ones. So this program has been organized so that we will all be among the grateful ones. We show gratitude to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, our parents have sent us here. This is one of the signs that they want good for us. What did I say? I said our parents have sent us here to this program. Why did they send us here? Because they want good for us. There are parents who are sending their children to other than programs like this. Programs that will ruin their lives. Imagine a parent sending his or her children to concerts where they will be dancing, where they will be jumping, or where they will be doing things that are not in line with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you are here gathered, learning about the religion. Some of you are writing. Some of you are listening attentively. So this tells us that our parents, they really want good for us. So when our parents want good for us, it is very, very important that you also follow the good path that our parents have put us on. If you see, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that كل إنسان تلده أمه على الفطرة. كل إنسان تلده أمه على الفطرة. Every person is given birth to by his or her mother on the فطرة. On the what? فطرة. What did I say? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَأَبَوَاهُ بَعْدْ يُهَوِّدَانِ أَوْ يُنَصْرَانِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِ. It is his parents or a parent that will later make him or her a Christian or a Jew or a Magian. The inclination, which is the fitrah, that we are all guided, that we have the inclination to enter paradise, to be admitted into Al-Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everyone this opportunity. But when you fall in the hand of a parent or parents that are not using this, that are not guiding us to the right path, so they make us to become something else. So he said, فَأَبَوَاهُ بَعْدْ يُحَوِّدَانِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِ. So it is the parents that will make the person a Christian or a Jew or a Magi. My brothers and sisters, what we are trying to say is that we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have parents like this, that have guided you, that have sent you to this program. Are you with me? Huh? So we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has blessed us with parents like this. Now, some of us are in maybe SS3 or SS2, planning to go to university. And that is why they want us to discuss the idea Muslim, the idea Muslim what? Student in the university. Now, for you to be ideal Muslim students in the university, you must not forget the good things that you have been taught now. These things that you have been taught, the ones that you have heard from our sheikh, the one that you have been learning from your teachers, the good things that you have been learning from them, make sure these follow you to the university. Make sure what? Make sure this follow you to the university. Because you are going to meet a lot of things when you get here. And if you are not well prepared, you are likely to watch, to go astray. You are likely to get lost when you get here. So, and that is why you have to equip yourself before you get here. You have to equip yourself before you get here. Are you with me? So you have to equip yourself before you get here. These that you have been learning, make sure they accompany you to the university. Make sure they accompany you to the university. So this is very, very important. Now, you as a Muslim, you want to go to the university. Not everybody will have that opportunity of being in the university. Maybe some of our parents did not have that opportunity. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destines that you are one of those that will go to the university, before getting there, you must know what you are going to do there, what you are going to do when you get here. Meaning, which course do you want to read? A lot of us, we are not prepared for this. All our aims and our efforts is just to get to the university. You don't mind the course that you are going to read. And that's why you see somebody who comes from a Muslim home, when you ask him, what do you want to read when you get to the university? What do you want to study? Somebody may say, what? I want to study theater arts. I want to study what? So what is the correlation of theater arts and what? Islam. So some students, they get it wrong. right from their secondary school time. So they go to the university to study courses that will not assist their religion, courses that will destroy their Islam. So such a student has gotten it wrong from inception. Or you go to the university to study courses that are not needed in Islam, really. Like somebody going to the university to study banking and finance. When you study banking and finance, you come out looking for a job, you want to work in the riba places. And some of our parents may have maybe spent so much on us. And that's why you have to look for a course or courses that are needed really in the society, that the Muslims need in the society, like studying what? Medicine. Another example? Studying what? Somebody say law. Studying nursing. Studying criminology. You have not mentioned pharmacy. Studying pharmacy. And many other courses like that are useful, that the Muslim Ummah really needs, and that are also lucrative. You make money from them. The Muslim Ummah needs some of these courses, and you as a person, you make money when you study them. Because our parents, when they send us to the universities, some of them, they are selling pepper, some of them are selling yams and the likes. They try to gather whatever they have to send you to university so that you can also be on your own. So it is good that you try to get this clearly. Not that when you enter university, then after your parents have spent on you, you come out to say, "Mommy, our teacher, our madam told us that this course that I study is not Islamic." After the parents have spent so much. And that's why it is important that you get this very well before you go in. Try to make consultation. Seek advice of your teachers. They will advise you on the course to study. That will also fetch you money, inshallah, and will not destroy your religion. What did I say? And what? Causes that what? That will not destroy your religion, and at the same time will do what? Will fetch you money. Because you need money, or don't you need money? You need money. So, courses that will fetch you money, at the same time it will not destroy your religion. So this is very, very important. Then when you get admitted into the university, make sure you know those that you move with. This is very, very important. Because there are people there waiting for you, either to ruin you or to watch, to make you. Some students or some children, while they were at home under their parents, they are doing well, they are performing well, they are obedient, but immediately they get to the university, they fall in the hand of the cultists. they introduce them into evil things. Some of them fall in the hands of the unscrupulous elements. They fall in the hands of bad people that initiate them into things that are against Islam. And that's why we should be very, very careful. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. When you want to take somebody as a friend, make sure the person you take as a friend is a believer. If you want to take as a friend, who should you take as a friend? A believer. لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا. Immediately you enter or you get admitted into the university, you look for people who are like you. Those who assist you in your iman, those who assist you in your deen. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Al-mar'u ala dini khalilih, falyanzur ahdukum man yukhalil." One will be practicing the religion of his friend. So every one of you should know who he or she is going to take as a friend. My brothers and sisters, if I want to know about you, I don't need to disturb myself much. I can know about you through those that you take as friends, through those that you move with. If I know somebody to be a very bad child in my area, and I see you moving with that child, I can conclude that you are also what? A bad child. Because if you are not a bad child, you will not be moving with the bad child that I know. So, and that is why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Al-maru ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahdukum man yukhalil." You should all try to know those that you take as friends, because your friends determine your religion. Your friends determine how religious you will be. One of the Muslim poets said, عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ وَسَلْ عَنْ قَرِينِ فَكُلُّ قَرِينٍ بِالْمُقَارَنِ يَقْتَدِي. You don't need to tell somebody, who are you, who are you? I want to know about you. Once you know his friend, you know him. Once you know his friend, you will know the type of person he is or she is. And that is why it is very, very important. As you are going into the university, there are a lot of people waiting for you there. There are the evil people waiting for you, and we have the good people waiting for you. So know those that you are going to watch, take as friends when you get there. That's another point. You look for the Muslims. You look for those who are upright. Because not every Muslim is upright. There are nominal Muslims. Those who will tell you that I'm a Muslim by birth. My parents are Muslims. Those who will tell you that. These are not the type of people that you take as friends when you get to university. Those that you take as friends are practicing Muslims. Those who pray regularly. They do not joke with their salah. They do not play with their salah. They pray regularly. So those who do not discourage you from your salah, that your parents have been encouraging you. Some of us, even before we got to the age of 7, some of our parents have been asking us to pray. They've been taking us to mosque. Now some of us are 15, some of us are 20. Then you leave your parents, you go to the university, you are in the hostel, then you meet somebody who is not encouraging you to pray. Rather, the person is discouraging you to pray. How can you be an ideal Muslim student in the university where you are not praying regularly, where you are not praying at the right time? So those that will affect you, don't go with the care guides, don't go with the smokers, don't go with those who are drinkers, those who take intoxicants, you don't move with them. These are people who are going to destroy your life when you get there. Rather, you move with those that will increase your iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'a sadiqin. O you believe, fear Allah and be with the sadiqun. Those who are truthful in their iman. You know, you have been well trained by your parents. When you get to the university and you meet those who are also who have been well trained by their parents, then you mix together, you assist one another. So this is something that is very, very important. When you get to the university, you avoid those who will ruin your life. In addition, some people, when they get to the university, that is when their age will be telling on them, so to say. They will start looking for girlfriends. They will start looking for boyfriends when they get to the university. As our Sheikh has told you, that it is haram for you to have what? It is haram for you to do what? There is something like girlfriendship, boyfriendship in Islam. When you reach the age to get married, you get married. But for you to be doing boyfriendship, girlfriendship, this is haram. There is no name given to this except what? Zina. This is zina. It is called what? Azina. What did I say? Who can tell me the meaning of azina? Who can define azina? Huh? What is the meaning of azina? Let a boy tell us. What is the meaning of azina?
Adultery.
Adultery. Expatiate more.
As in being with another man.
Huh? What is adultery? What is adultery? What is fornication?
Adultery is when you have concubine with another man's wife or woman.
Okay. When they say adultery or fornication, huh? Okay. Now,
azina means beautify.
Not azina, azina, zina. Zina is different from zina. Now, yes, he got it when he said adultery or fornication. But what is the meaning of adultery? What is the meaning of fornication? Okay. Relationship between a boy.
An illegal relationship between a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl.
Nah, an illegal relationship between a boy and a girl, or a man. Now, in Islam, it is not permissible for a man and a woman to be in seclusion. Not to talk of having sexual intercourse if they are not legally married, or they are what? Maybe they are relatives that are what? That cannot marry each other forever. Did you get it? In Islam, it is unlawful for a man and a woman to be in seclusion. When we say seclusion, that is a place that it is only both of them that are there. To be in seclusion. Not to talk of what? Having sexual intercourse. Not to talk of what? Having sexual intercourse. So it is haram, it is illegal to do that. Unless if they are what? Legally married. They are legally married. Or they are being in seclusion, though without something of what? Sex and what leads to it. It's as a result of they being what? Relatives that can be in seclusion. Not all relatives. Some of us, for instance, which we realize, your cousins, they are your relatives. But they are not relatives that you can be in seclusion with. They are not relatives that what? You can be in seclusion with. So when you are in seclusion with somebody that you are not supposed to be in seclusion with, you are what? You are revolving around zina. You are revolving around what? Zina. Then when one has sexual intercourse with that person, one falls into what? Into zina. So this is haram. When you get to the university, you are away from your parents. The possibility of things like this is what? Is very high. I want to go and see my friend. I want to go and so this is my man friend. This is my boyfriend. And things like that. All this start coming in. And ideal Muslim students do not partake in things like this. You go for what you are going to learn. You are there to learn medicine. You are there to learn pharmacy. You are there to learn so and so. Go for that. Mind your business. Not that when you get there, you start going away with boys and girls. Boyfriends, girlfriends. Because you've seen some people doing. So and so person lives on the same street with me. So he has a boyfriend. She has a boyfriend. He has a girlfriend. So I'm going to have one too. Don't do that. This is where a lot of people ruin their lives. They fall into sins and they also destroy their lives. Some people may not be unable, may be unable to want to continue their university education as a result of what? Having committed things like this. So they will have to drop out. They will have to drop out. So it is wrong Islamically. When you are not ready for marriage, don't revolve around things that lead to it. Don't revolve around things that lead to it. Look at the people in the West. They deceive us. How do they deceive us? They tell you, for instance, that the marriageable age is 18. The marriageable age is what? 18. But they have what they call age of consent. What do I call it? Age of consent. Age of consent to them is different from what? The marriageable age. To them, a girl of 13 in some countries, of 12 in some countries, 14 in some countries, 16 in some countries, can have a boyfriend. Look at this evil training. And the parents do not have the right to tell her not to have what? A boyfriend. She can even sue the parents when they are trying to stop her from doing this. This boyfriend can have sex with her, can enjoy her, and the parents will just keep quiet. And when they take it to the court, they say she has a right. Because she is what? She is in age of what? Consent. As long as she consents, not that somebody forces her to do that. It is only when somebody forces her that it becomes what? An offense, a crime that is punishable. But if nobody forces her, that is her decision, and that is the decision of the man, the boy, then no harm. But these people, we ask them, when can a girl get married? They said, if a girl gets married before age of 18, that girl, that marriage is what? It's not acceptable. But she can have sex before what? Before 18. But she can't get married. What if she becomes pregnant at age 14, 15? You say what? She can terminate the pregnancy. And if they want to continue with it, with the pregnancy, she can continue. This is what they do in the West. All these are against Islamic law. Allah frowns at this. So when you are going to the university, make sure you don't revolve around things like this. When you are ready for marriage, go for it proper, in the right way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legalized. Because the one who commits zina, such a person is going to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the good people, He said, الَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَا اللَّهِ إِلَىٰنْ آخَرَ Those who do not call on other than Allah. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ And they do not kill people. They do not kill people unjustly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ They don't commit zina. They don't commit zina. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا Whoever does that, such a person is going to watch, is going to meet punishment. يُضَعَفُ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا Such a person is going to receive multiple double punishment for committing this. My brothers and sisters, plan your life. As you are going to the university, make sure you are going there to learn the right thing that you have watched, you have been admitted to learn. Not for you to be watched, to be making bad friends, as we said. And not for you to be watched, to be committing zina or revolving around zina. Go away from this. Go away from this. In addition to that, as you are going in, you are likely to meet some people who may call themselves lecturers, but they are the ones destroying the what? The students. We have had so many cases that you see a lecturer trying to watch, trying to molest a female student. Some of the female students, because they are not reading hard, they are not people who are hardworking. They don't read and they want to get mark. They want to come out in flying colors. So they have to watch. It will be sex for what? For mark. So they make themselves available for these evil evil teachers. So make sure you don't join the camp of those people. Read and read and read. Read and read and what? And read. So that you can have good grades. You can excel. Not that you'll be looking for the way to what? To sell yourself. So that you can get mark. So that you can get mark. And you shouldn't be among those people that will be bribing the lecturers. So that what? They can increase your marks. All these are things that you should avoid. Now when we say you should also move with the good people, those who are upon the sunnah, those who are doing the right thing, you should be very, very careful in these aspects too. There are people in the university that adhere towards to also destroy you in the name of the deen. They teach you the wrong akidah. You see all these people, the Boko Haram and the likes, some of them were indoctrinated while they were watched in the higher institution. I remember the case of a young boy who had memorized the Quran. When he came from the university, he just left his bag and watched. He left home. Only to hear that he had been among those who had been killed in Kebbi or so. He had joined these bad people, the people with the thoughts of Boko Haram and the likes. So don't go to these extremes, and don't be too much. Don't go to the other extremes. There are people who are ready to destroy you. They are ready to take away your hijab. They tell you that, oh, the way you appear, so you are not appearing very attractive. When you take off this hijab, you look attractive. They are preparing you to be destroyed. They are preparing you for what? For sale. So make sure you don't fall for these people. At the same time, don't fall for the extremists. Don't forget your teachers at home. Make sure you watch. You come back to them to ask them things about the deen. So you have everything on campus, everything. The good things are there. The bad things are there. It depends on where you move towards. It depends on who you associate yourself with. So everything you have on campus, and that's why they tell you that the university is what? Is a small society. This is the larger society. So when you are on the campus, remember that you are still coming back to what? The larger society. So make sure you follow the good people, the right people, you study, you don't sell yourself, you don't follow evil friends and the likes. You study art. And as I've said, make sure you choose the right course. Make sure you choose the right course before leaving home, so that the money spent on you by your parents would not be a waste. The money spent on you by your parents will not be a waste. Think very well. Look at the course that you are going to study, the course that will benefit the society. This is very, very important. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us to keep good company, as we have said. He said, مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ كَمَثَلِ حَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ. If you have a good company, a good companion, the similitude of a good companion is like the one who is carrying a perfume called musk. This is one of the best perfumes. Is a similitude of the one who is carrying a musk. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Imma an yuhziyaka." It's either the person carrying this musk gives you from the musk, so that you can also apply on your body and be smelling good. Or imma an tabta'a minhu. If it's not giving you free of charge, you can buy from him. You can buy from him. And you apply your body, you'll be smelling good. Wa imma an tashumma minhu rahiyatan tayyiba. Or you smell, you perceive good odor. That you are in the shop of somebody who is selling perfume. You know, when you leave that shop, what will happen to you? Huh? You are in the shop of somebody who is selling perfume. When you leave that shop, what happens to you? You'll be smelling nice, smelling good. Despite the fact that you have not bought perfume from him or her, despite the fact that he or she has not given you perfume, but you are still smelling good. This is when you move with good people. This is the way it will be. So make sure you keep good friends. Don't have evil people as friends. They are going to affect you negatively. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa masalul jaleel sisu." The similitude of the bad companion is kamathali nafikh al-kir. It's like the one who is blowing bellows. Do you know bellows? Huh? Emma wa alagbede. Hello malagbede. Okay, Goldsmith, you know Goldsmith. You know that thing that they blow that will bring in out fire? Huh? If you go and sit with somebody like that, what happens to you when you leave that shop? You'll be what? Somebody is what? Is blowing something like that. Okay, let me give another example. There is a place where they are cooking. They use firewood and the lights. When they kindle the fire, is what? Is burning. What will be coming out? Smokes. When you stay that, you stay there, what happens to you when you leave that place? You'll be smelling smoke. And you will not like that smell, have you? So that is the similitude when you keep bad friends. That bad friend will be affecting you unknowingly. You have not told him or her, teach me some of your bad conducts or bad character. But for the fact that you move with such a person, you'll be affected. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna yudhiyaka," it's either he arms you with that, with the what? With the smoke. It's either what? He arms you with that. Or you hear from him what? Bad odor. Imma yuhriku thiyabak wa imma antashumma minhu rihan khabitha. It's either he arms you by burning your clothes, or you hear bad odor. My sisters and my brothers, let us understand what you are saying. It is very, very important. Not every one of us will go to the university, as we said. But if you have decided, you are making effort to go, make sure you know what you are going to read when you get here. Start preparing from now. And when you get here, make sure you are serious with your education. Don't join bad group. Join the good group. Observe your salah regularly. Things Allah has forbidden, go away from them. Things Allah has commanded, make sure you do them. And don't join those gangs that are selling their private part for marks. Don't join those gangs that are bribing the lecturers to get marks. This is how you are going to get into the university as an ideal Muslim child. And when you are in the university, you'll be an ideal Muslim student. And when you are leaving the university, you live as an ideal Muslim graduate. And this is likely to watch. It's going to be what you will be doing in the larger society. So when we say the larger society is bad, there is corruption everywhere. Where do you think this is coming from? It's coming from what? From the university, coming from the secondary school, coming from the primary school, coming from where the way our parents trained us. So inshallah, I will stop here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in piety, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik asharan la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With the intention of correcting the person, A lot of people, they hide under this type of thing to say this. But at the end of the day, instead of they succeeding in correcting that person, they end up being spoiled by that person. They end up being spoiled by that person. They claim they want to correct the person, but they eventually get spoiled. So this is a very big tax. For you to say you want to correct somebody that is evil, that has bad conduct, that's why you are moving together with the person. No, distance yourself from the person. You're correcting the person should not be by what? Mingling with the person. Yes, you correct the person from distance, from afar. Not you going to the person's house, going out with the person. Gradually, the person is going to infect you with its virus or a virus. So, Allahu a'lam.
Jazakum Allahu khairan. Nínú àwọn nǹkan tí wọ́n tún tì síwájú, nǹkan tó ní bá ṣe pẹ̀lú ọ̀rọ̀ ẹ̀wọ̀n, boyfriend, girlfriend. Wọ́n ní ẹni kí àwọn ọmọ ṣe boyfriend, girlfriend. Iṣẹ́ àwọn ò lè ní ọ̀rẹ́ tí ó jẹ́ ọkùnrin ni. Ìyẹn ìbéèrè yẹn wá látọ̀dọ̀ àwọn obìnrin. Bákan náà, nínú àwọn béèrè tí wọ́n béèrè ni pé ẹni pé nǹkan tí ó wà aláwòtó ni wípé kí ẹni tó fẹ́ fẹ́ obìnrin kó lọ sí ọ̀dọ̀ àwọn òbí obìnrin yẹn, kó lọ sí kí concept àwọn òbí ẹ̀. Nípe ṣé kò yẹ kí wọ́n mọ ìwà ara wọn ná síwájú eléyìí ni. Ẹni wọ́n ní àwọn fẹ́ kí ẹ ń bá emphasize dáadáa lórí ọ̀rọ̀ boyfriend girlfriend pé àwọn questions yẹn ó pọ̀ tí wọ́n kọ wá. So tó dẹ̀ pé látọ̀dọ̀ àwọn obìnrin ni púpọ̀ ti wá. So mí náà wá látọ̀dọ̀ àwọn ọkùnrin náà.
Now, as you said, there is nothing like boyfriendship, girlfriendship in Islam. Any one of us or any one of you that is doing that should desist from it. Stop it. That's not the way of a Muslim child. When it is time for you to get married, then you walk towards it.
Ẹgbẹ́ kí a dákẹ́ púpọ̀ nínú àwọn obìnrin wọ́n rojọ́ ẹ̀yin lẹ́bìnrin béèrè ẹ̀yin náà ni ẹ̀tún listing láti gbọ́ nǹkan tí wọ́n ń bá yín sọ. Ẹni tí ó bá ti rojọ́ ó máa dúró ní títí tí stars máa fi parí ìdáhùn àwọn questions yẹn.
Now, when it is time for you to get marriage, you get marriage, you walk towards that. But now you are not ready for marriage. Why the boyfriendship? Why the girlfriendship? So you are revolving around the main zina by so doing. It is a bad habit, a bad practice for a girl or a boy to be going out together. He say, she is my girlfriend, he is my boyfriend. Islam does not recognize this. Allah forbids this. When you know you are ready for marriage, you get married. But you are not ready now. Why doing things that will make you incur the wrath of Allah? Look at the verse that you read earlier. Allah says, يَلْقَ أَثَامَ يُدُعَفُ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِي إِمُهَانَةِ. Such a person is going to get punishment from Allah. And such a person is going to be thrown into hell. Such a person is going to be in that punishment for a long period or perpetually. It depends. So why do you want to put yourself in a situation like this? Don't be disturbed or carried away by people doing it. You say people are doing it. When Allah is punishing those who are doing it, it will be evidence for you that, oh Allah, I also did it because I saw people doing it. That is not an evidence before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forbid something, go away from it. You want to have boyfriend. Just to have boyfriend. The girls that you have, how many of them have you taken as friends? That you are looking for a boy to take as friend. Don't you think that wara al-akama ma wara aha? That is, there are some things that are what? That are involved in that thing. Not just to have a boy that you'll be talking to, as your classmate, you'll be talking to each other. What is behind that is far, far, far more than meets the eye. So, and that's why, go away from it. You have a lot of good girls that you can move with, that you can take as friends. So take those ones as friends, consult them. And if you need advice, you speak with your brother, your relative, your blood brother, who can what advise you. You don't need to go and meet another boy. The same thing you boys, you speak to brothers like you. You have sisters, your own, your blood sisters, that you can ask something. Rather than what asking ladies or girls that are not your relatives, that are not your blood relations, asking them, saying they are what? They are your girlfriends. This is evil. But that doesn't mean that when it is time for you to get married, you will get what? Husbands. You get good husbands when it is time. But now it is not yet time. Why rushing? Why walking towards destroying yourselves? You brothers, you are not ready yet. Most of you are still being what? Assisted by your parents. They are still feeding you. You don't have a job. So why rushing? Wait till the time that what? You are ready to get married. So this is very, very important. Now,
won si n gbe awon ibeere yen wa bi awon ti gbo nkan ti ustaz n so yi abi ko je pe ogoro nu awon obirin won ni concentration si alaye ti won se ni won yi so pe nje awon ti e le ni okunrin ni best friend akoko niyen. So elekeji eyan kan tun mu ibeere kan na wa ninu awon question ti won ko wa pe sa won le ni crush won ko stars e ma gbo nkan ti won gba le ro pelu crush so mo fe ki kero de pe ma move sori question mi to wa nibi ba ya ki e ba tun salaye
nam we are coming now better in you bani kini anfani ton ben bikini okunrin gege bi best friend talole salaye fun wa talo le salaye fun wa kini anfani ta fe ri bi pe awon obirin amu okunrin gege bi best friend awon obirin kekeke chochelisi amu omo okunrin gege bi best friend
assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh
though there are disadvantages, there are also benefits. Because it enables you to know more about the opposite sex. What if at times you are in a situation, those kind of guys, not every guy that has ill intentions. Don't quote me wrong. I said, at times, there are some guys that will help you to know more about how other guys treat ladies. It is when you relate with them, that's when you know about their behavior. If you are just blind to their way of lifestyles, then what if you are in a situation in which you do not expect to be mixed with guys, but you find yourself, like, maybe at the end, you're mixed with them. Then how do you suppose you try to understand the question and you know the red alert of when you are in a danger?
Now, let me ask this question. Let me ask you this question. Yes, let's... Now, if you say, you've said that it enables you to know more about the opposite sex, how they will treat you women, and this and that, do you have any man in your family or any male in your family that can explain this to you or that can teach you about this?
As in, I don't get a question. Come again.
The reason you want to have, the reason a girl, the reason you think a girl should have a male friend is so that you can know about the opposite sex more, how they treat women and the likes. Why do you think it is when you have that person, that is when you can know about the opposite sex? Don't you have males in your family?
Thank you for the question.
That you can learn from them how the males treat the women?
Do you know there are some things that you can't ask the people you are close to?
Tell us.
I don't really know how to give the example, but there are some things you can't ask your family members. About example of the things that you are close to that. And what if I don't have a person of around my age in my family? Most of them, they are of the old generations. And the things, right now we are in a computer age. The things that they do in those times are different from the one that we did in this time.
No, you said how they treat women. How they treat women. That is what you told me. How they treat women. So you have a father that can watch, teach you this. You have maybe an elder brother that you can
ask
about this from.
If a girl were to ask her father about, okay, dad, tell me about how men treat women, what will the father think of the girl? This girl is going astray. That's the first thought that goes to come to the mind.
Okay, that means the best way for the girl is to go and look for a man outside.
Not to go and look for a man. You are going to have to know the person for that. Oh, I don't know how to explain it. But you have,
if you look at what you are saying now, it's talking about this boyfriendship of a thing, girlfriendship of a thing, that is going to destroy the life.
Yeah, I also wrote a question similar to that. I said, it is said that one of the most hated things by Allah is talaq, that is divorce. Then how do you suppose you get to know more about a partner if there is no courtship or dating that is going to lead to divorce? Please, maybe you can just tell us about other ways you are going to have to know more about a partner if there is no courtship.
Okay, if that is your question now, let me tell you the truth. If a lady or a girl, the way most of the young girls, the way they do, if they move out with boys like themselves, for instance, or somebody older, and they are not ready for marriage, what will happen? Shaitan will use both of them. They enjoy each other. They do what a husband and a wife would do. And at the end of the day, the man now lose interest in that girl and dump her. And this is what has always happened. Most of those who are going out with girls, they don't end up marrying the same ladies. They just destroy their lives, they deflower them, and they abandon them. It is another man that will come and marry that girl, not the one that she has been going out with. And that's why you should be very, very careful. Don't be deceived. by things like this? Are they going to know the character of each other? You know, when you are practicing things like this, you tend to deceive each other. If a girl, for instance, doesn't take a bath regularly, a day she's going to meet that boyfriend, she will take a bath. She will apply all these cosmetics and the likes. So when the boy sees her, or the man sees her, the boy what? Feels carried away. The same thing will happen to the boy. What he does not have, he what he will say he has it. My father is this. My father has just bought a new car. My father is this and that. We are having this. The lady, her head will be swollen when what? When she hears this. Not knowing that what the man or the boy is deceiving her. With this, the man will have what? The ability to have sex with her. Then after a while, 2 years, 3 years, he abandons her. What have you learned in this? You have learned nothing. So go and look at it. Most of the people who engage in this boyfriendship, girlfriendship, they don't end up marrying the same person that they were what? They were going out with. So they will end up being what? Cheated, as they will say. And that's why you see some ladies, they go mental. Eh? They go mad. That they have been what? They have been cheated by a man. So why putting yourself in this type of life? When you know you are not ready for this, don't go near it. Your Lord, your Creator knows what is good for you. So he forbids this. So please take it of what I've said. So what, don't be deceived. You cannot know the character of a man until what, you are married. So both of you can be deceiving each other for 10 years. Hiding some of your what? Some of your conduct. Maybe the girl is somebody who, when she sleeps, she wets the bed. The man doesn't know. The man doesn't know. So it is only when both of you become what? Husband and a wife that you get to know about this. So don't practice this type of thing. Anything you know that you need to know about what has to do with marriage, your parents can explain to you. You have the best examples and the best teachers at home. So Allahu a'lam.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Adupe pupo lowo awon stars wa. Ari wi pe question lori boyfriend girlfriend. Ara wi pe o ti clear bayi. Ni fe ki obirin kankan ni abi okunrin kankan ko ko ibeere yen wa mo. Bi Quran dani. Pataki julo to ba je student ti o nke lo ninu ile ke o ti won tin ko ipo Quran.
Nam nipa ka gbe Al-Qur'an dani fun omaleki o eleyi ko sin kan ti o buru nbe to ba se pe o fe fi keko ni iyan omo to nse nkan osu lanso so in to da o ni pe ko lo hand glove na ti yo ba gbe lowo. So eleyi o ma ni tumo pe ko fo kan direct sumo to wa se pe o fo kan direct na nitori necessity ati keko. So eleyi ko si nkan ti o buru nbe. Naam sole wo mashalashi o le wo mashalashi ni eyi ti o tewon nani. So bo ti je pe opolopo awon afa mo so wi pe obirin to nse nkan osu ko le wo mashalashi. Now what I've just said is that a menstruating woman or girl that is learning the Quran can bear the Quran, can carry it. This is due to necessity, because if we say she cannot carry the Quran, that means she will be unable to read the Quran for some time, and what she has learned she may forget. So for this reason, a lot of scholars soft feather on her taking or bearing the Quran. But it is advisable if she can do that with, if she does that with hand gloves. This is good. This is good. She can also enter the mosque. Though this is contrary to what a lot of scholars are saying. But there is no clear text that says she cannot enter the mosque. Though, as I've said, that a lot of scholars said she cannot. But if she has to enter as well, maybe to attend the lectures, you can say what? She can enter if she has to learn the deen. I said no clear text says she cannot. But there are some afar or some evidences that may be twisted, so to say, to justify that position that she can't enter. So it is better if she is not pure not to enter. But if she has to, for one genuine reason or the other, then she can, wallahu a'lam. Now, as for the ruling concerning bowing to greet the elderly ones, this is a matter that always generates controversies, arguments, resentment, and many other things. But the blunt truth is that this is not permissible. As parents, we should teach our children that this should not be made for anybody. So this is something that is important. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not take this from the companions and discourage them from doing that. So much so that when the Muslims went to Ethiopia, some of the Muslims, they emigrated to Ethiopia. When they got there, they did not bow for the ruler, the king here. Some of the mushrikun in Mecca who followed them there were trying to instigate the ruler against them by saying, you see, even they are not bowing to what to greet you. So the king had to ask them, why are you not bowing? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us not to bow except for Allah. So this is a musnad of Imam Ahmad. So for this reason, it should be avoided, discouraged. Yes, it's something that is difficult for a lot of parents to accept. But this is a blunt truth. So we take it gradually, gradually, till you are able to watch to be on our own. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan. When you say, is it good for a guy to use roller and to, okay, in order to avoid body odor?
Now, is it good for a girl to use body roller? If it's something that smells good, if it's something that smells good, that can attract the opposite sex, then this is not permissible. The fact that you call it roll-on does not make it permissible. There is something that doesn't have odor, but when you use it, it's something that prevents the odor, the bad odor that some of the women have. This will be permissible. So it is based on the hadith that tibu al mar'a ma dha'ara lawnuha wa khafiyari wa ma dha'ara lawnuhu wa khafiyarihu, that is, the perfume of the woman is the one that you can see the color but you can't perceive the odor. Once you can perceive the odor of a perfume applied by a woman, then that perfume is not something that she goes out with. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ayyuma imra'atin ista'tarat thumma kharajat min baytiha liyajida an-nasu ri'aha fa hiya zaniya. Any lady that applies perfumes that is attractive so that the people can watch, perceive and smell the good odor of a perfume, such a lady is a prostitute. Such a lady is a prostitute. So you don't apply perfume that smells good, that attracts the opposite sex. So this is wrong. So Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Je ki a teti gbo awon idahun awon ibere ti ako wa. To ba ye pe lecturer to nko awon ninu university to se pe o nbere fun ara awon nitori pe o threaten awon pe o ma fail awon. Kini ka won se? Akoko ni e. Elekeji ni pe dami ti lecturer ba wa no class pelu awon asko run a to.
Now on the first question, for a lecturer to threaten you that if you do not make yourself available for him, that is going to fail you. A lecturer will not do that ordinarily if not that you have been moving close to him. There is something between both of you. It's either he has seen you as somebody who is not performing well academically, and he sees that you need mark, then he's telling you this. So ordinarily, a lecturer will not come to you and start threatening you that if you do not make yourself available for him, that is going to fail you. He has seen a loophole that he will use to haunt you. So, and that's why you have to block that place. And that's why I said, when you get to the university, make sure you read art. Read art so that you will not need a lecturer to give you mark. When you don't read art, the lecturer that wants to molest you, the watch will say he will give you mark. So let him have something with you. So what you have to block is this aspect. Make sure you read art. And make sure you are not somebody that is just making yourself appealing to the lecturer. What do I mean? There are some ladies, when they are in front of the lecturer or the teacher, they themselves will be doing some things that will be making the teacher feel this lady or this girl is interested in me. So you should distance yourself from this. You don't have any business with him other than your academic whatever. So face that. But making your voice in such a way that will be attractive when you are speaking to the lecturer, these are things that will make the lecturer himself interested in you and make him look for a way to haunt you. So correct this aspect. Now, at times, you are in the lecture room and it is time for Salah. If the lecturer does not allow you to go out for Salah, you wait after the lecture, you go for Salah, as long as the time of the Salah has not gone out. Take for instance, the time for Zuhr is 1:05. And you won't finish your class until, let's say, 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30 is still the time for Zuhr. So you can go and observe your Salah after that. If the time of the lecture is, let's say, between 12 to 2. So you can go and observe your Salah after that time. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Attachment to the air. Is it permissible? Is it a sin to decide not to marry?
It is a sin to attach anything to your hair. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, as reported by Imam Muslim, Zajara al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tasila al-mar'atu li sha'riha shay'an. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimanded that a lady attaches anything to her hair. So it is not good for you to attach anything to your hair. It is not good for you to do that. Avoid it. Avoid it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam la'ana al-wasila wal-mustawsila. He caused the lady that assists people in joining air to their air, be it artificial air or real air, natural air. Now, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam causes the one who is doing that. And the one who is going to meet them to do that for her. Both of them are caused. So we should avoid this. So you see a lot of ladies outside here. You see, they have what? Attached air, synthetic air to their air. So that when you see them, you think this is their air. But this is not their air. It is what? It is artificial and they are wearing. So this is what is wrong Islamically. Now, the use of rubber and thread to also plate your hair, this should also be avoided. Sorry. So, it is good that you practice this they call Didi. Huh? The one they call Didi. Rather than using what thread and the rubber, so to say, to do it. So because the hadith is general, zajara an nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam an tafsil al mar'atu bi shari'a shay'a. Messenger of Allah reprimanded that a lady joins anything to a hair, so this should be avoided. Allahu a'lam. Can a lady or a girl says she does not want to get married? That is not good for a lady. Allah has created her so that what? She can get married as well, and so that somebody can also marry her. If she decides that she's not going to get married, who is she aiming? She's only aiming herself. There are girls like that will say they won't get married. But you see them committing illicit acts, committing zina. Their body is in need of that. They need a man. But they said they are not going to what? Get married. How are they going to be satisfying themselves? Through illegal sexual intercourse. Allah has made marriage halal. Why are you leaving marriage going for what? For zina. But if a lady says, I don't want to get married, I'm not going to commit zina, I'm not going to be affected, then that's her choice. That is her choice. But that is not the best for her. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Only can a man use deodorant? Deodorant.
Can a man use deodorant? Yes, a man can apply perfume generally. A man can apply perfume generally.
What's the effect of hard drug on teenager?
Hard drug destroys the life of a teenager. Once you see a teenager taking hard drugs, just know that child has destroyed himself. And that's why you see a lot of them wandering around. They become insane, mad as a result of the hard drugs they've taken. I don't know what these young people, what they get in this, what they derive in this. When you are born into this world, your parents are happy. Your relatives are happy. Your neighbors are happy. But you decide to ruin your life by taking India M's, by smoking, by doing all this. And the person goes mad and starts picking things on the ground. At times, he make himself or herself naked, walking on the streets, what has he or she benefited from this? Going there naked, going naked on the street. A lot of the hard drugs that he or she has taken. This is wrong. This is wrong. It's destroying yourself. So, as we said, friends that we know are taking this, we should go away from them. Allahu a'lam.
Can Muslim listen to music?
Can
a Muslim, female or male?
Can a Muslim male or female listen to music? So music is one of the instruments of shaitan. So when you listen to music, you get what? You get thrilled. So you are pushed into doing things that are what? Are haram. So and that's why it is what? It's something that we should avoid. It is something that we should avoid.
Last question. Only can we tint our hair?
Can we?
Tint. Then LKG, only is it lip? Is lip gloss or lip balm allowed in Islam for a girl?
For?
For a girl.
Now, can we tint our hair? This has to do with the culture. In some cultures, tinting of the hair is something that is permissible. That is a practice. Both males and females. If you go to places like Pakistan, India, you see some of the Muslims there tinting their hair. So it's a matter of culture. If you are in a culture where the hair is tinted, it is permissible. If you are in a culture where the people frown at tinting of the hair, then it's not permissible. So in this case, we say what? Al-urfu muhakkamu. That is, the custom of the people is something that you take into consideration. Imagine you go out and somebody sees you with your hair tinted. What the person will say? He will shout, he will cry. Because he does not believe that a Muslim child tints his or her what? Her hair. So, but they see that an Okosha, for instance, or what? Huh? I can't hear you. Or a Ronaldo tint his hair. So they don't see a Zaid or a Saeed or an Abdul Ghani tinting his hair. So if I should do that, now people will look at me, what is this, Malam? But you go to places like India, it is common practice here. It is common practice there. So it's something that is left in the hand of the people. If their culture practices it, it's okay. If not, it should be avoided. But there is no clear text from the Quran and the Sunnah that says you should not tint your hair. Or it is only when you become what? When you become somebody with grey hair that you are allowed to tint the hair. Even when you don't have grey hair, you can tint. But this depends on the culture. Wallahu a'lam. Now, the lipstick or whatever, is this permissible for a lady? If she's going to apply that, if it's something to beautify herself, this is not permissible if she's going to display it. But let's say she's going to put on niqab, for instance, and she applies that, and she covers that with niqab, no arm. But she's going to leave it exposed like that. This is not permissible. This is not permissible. Unless the ones that are used for this prevention of dry lips. But if it is for beautification, this is not permissible. Wallahu a'lam.
Welcome, Allah Ta'ala. Only ki about so aburu to wa bi football wiwo.
Now, what is the evil of watching football? Yes, playing football and watching football, they may have different rulings. Playing football originally may be permissible because it's a game that when you play it, you get tired quickly. It's not like you are playing draft or you are playing Ludo. When you play Ludo, you play draft, this you can play for hours. I read about the case of a young boy who played some of his computer games for 72 hours or so. So it means you can watch, you can continue to play. And things like this, Shaitan loves it. And that was one of the great imams, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. When Allah said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأصنام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Allah says, oh you believe, الخمر intoxicant and الميسر and ميسر, he said, is what? Is رجس, is filth, من عمل الشيطان, is the handiwork of الشيطان, فاجتنبوه, go away from it, لعلكم تفلحون, so that you will be successful. Al-Imam Malik said, Al-Maysiru Maysirani, there are two types of Maysir. Maysiru Lahwin wa Maysiru Qimar. Maysiru Lahwin, this is the type of Maysir that when you do, you are not betting. You are not putting down a prize. But you can play it for hours without getting tired. And when we are Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you should continue. Shaitan has tied you down. Any game that you play that can tie you down for hours, that will prevent you from praying at the right time, such a game is prohibited. This is called Maysiru Lahwi. But football, the playing of football is something that when you play, you get tired quickly. So playing football will be permissible if all the necessary conditions are fulfilled. You do not expose your thighs and things like that. Huh? But watching football can what be like Maysiru Lahwin, because you can watch football for hours without getting tired. Without getting tired. You are only watching. You are watching. You are watching, so you may watch for hours without getting tired. That is one aspect. Another aspect is what some of these things we are talking about, they put price on it, they bet. And it is haram for you to do qimar, to bet. So that's another angle. So in fact, people kill themselves or kill one another over this. I remember there was a time where we are a bit younger. One of the popular goalkeeper or so was killed when it was said that he scored themselves. Huh? They scored themselves. I've forgotten the name, maybe Escobar or what they call it. Or Escobar. So, they scored themselves or so. And one of the fans just took a gun and what? And fired him. And what? And killed him. How did you score? Scores. So, you see, people, they bet. They put on millions. Put down millions. That he's going to win, he's going to win. This is what means Amal is Shaitan. So this is a combination of what? Maysiru Lahwin and Maysiru Qimar. So you should watch. You should check yourself. Any game that you are playing that will lead to quarrel, you fight each other, you should avoid it. All that involves you betting, you should be avoided. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakum Allahu khairan. Adupe pupo fun awon ustaz wa. Ambele won ba Allah ki je ki ari won pe lori daada. Ambele won ba Allah iti won tun se wa ni anfani e. Ambele won ba ko je anfani fun gbogbo ri pata. kí ọlọ́run ọba lọ́wọ́ kó má ṣe eléyìí ní àṣẹ mọ fún wa ní ọdún tó ń bọ̀ kí ó tún jòjò kó dájú eléyìí lọ. A tún dúpẹ́ lọ́wọ́ àwọn mọ̀ṣáyìkọ alápapọ̀ kọ́lọ́run kó bá a sanwó ní ẹ̀sán dáadáa. Bákan náà ni a ń dúpẹ́ fún àwọn mùdírù wa mùdírù dárú tàálìm kí ọlọ́run ọba lọ́wọ́ kó bá a sanwó ní ẹ̀sán dáadáa. Àti gbogbo àwọn tí wọ́n gbé ètò yìí dání kí ọlọ́run ọba lọ́wọ́ subhanahu wa ta'ala kó bá a sanwó ní ẹ̀sán dáadáa. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.